Good morning. I'm Mark Allen with Gaper.io, and I'm here today with Russ Lorber, the founder of Wide Roots and a certified Italian wine ambassador, which is a unique title that I've never heard. But why don't we start with Russ? Why don't you tell us, you know, your history before you founded Wide Roots?
Thanks for having me. Before I started Wide Roots, which we are about a 2-year-old company at this point. I've been building the business for about 3 years, but I spent, before launching Wide Roots, 25 years in heavy industry and specifically specialty chemicals. So I'm an engineer by technical background, but my professional background was more on the finance and operations and supply chain side of things. And so I spent some time with DuPont. I spent a lot of time with W.R. Grace. Had, I think, a really good career for a very long time. And I kind of reached a point in my career and even with my, you know, call it my life, where my objectives changed. And so my goal was no longer to make as much money as I possibly can and advance and continue up the corporate ladder. I was kind of stressed out by all of that after a pretty long run. And so I decided, well, I can't stop working. I'm not ready to retire yet. And so I made the decision to do something different, which was more aligned with a passion that I had. And I wanted to really be able to enjoy what I was doing. And so I had reached a point where I was able to launch this business. I had the financial means to do it. And it was time for me to make that leap. I have gotten to know wine a lot over the last 10 years. It's a big world. There's a lot to know. And what I really learned was I found that I had where my palate was and what I really enjoyed were these amazing wines from Spain and Italy. And these are parts of, you think about the wine store, they're parts of the store where people tend to go less because we don't know as much about those products, about those wines. We learn about wine by grape names. And in Europe, location tends to be more important, although grapes are certainly important. And so I thought I had the opportunity to maybe make this world more accessible to people, much in the same way that I did so for myself, through self-education. And then you mentioned the certified Italian wine ambassador through formal education that I've had the opportunity to be able to do.
Very cool. So what does it mean to be a certified Italian wine ambassador?
So that title is granted by an organization called Vinitaly. Vinitaly International Academy specifically is the educational arm of Vinitaly. And Vinitaly's mission is to essentially advance Italian wines. Italy is very good at marketing itself, marketing its products and its wines. And so the mission of the Italian Wine Ambassador program is to take professionals like me, and like sommeliers, people that manage stores that move lots of Italian wines, and educate us about the top grapes in Italy, where they come from, what the important soil and climate characters are, what the classic food pairings are, and what some of the historical context would be, like how the grape name got its name. And we learned that nothing is sort of set in stone. There are these multiple sort of competing theories and stories behind everything. But that's what really makes this amazingly fun. And so the result of that, there's a very intense exam that goes along with that. I was with a 31% pass rate. I was fortunate to pass the exam when I took it last year in Verona. And so it's a great network of people who go through that program and are really out there working on advancing these interests. And what is really striking to me, you know, we talked earlier about passion, is you really see that passion that people have for Italian wines. I mean, they just love it, and they love talking about it, and they love trying wines and tasting them and visiting producers. It's a really magical experience. But that gives me the means to come back here and talk about some of those stories and talk about where some of these things come from. And it really does, it helps to be able to sell wine because I've gone through that program.
And I could tell you my favorite Italian wine. Maybe you could tell me where it's from, Sangiovese.
Sangiovese, yes. Sangiovese is the quintessential red grape from Italy. It grows all over Italy, but most notably, you will find it in Tuscany. It's the main grape in Chianti, but there are some other important areas that are also making wine from Sangiovese, which would be Montalcino makes the famous Brunello di Montalcino, which is one of the really classic Italian high-end red wines, and then other locations as well, Maremma on the coast, a town called Montepulciano, not to be confused with the grape in Tuscany, also makes its vinifications, but also some other areas like Emilia Romagna that are making some really nice examples of wines from Sangiovese.
Well, I know a little winery in Sonoma that makes a really good how do you say that, Sangiovese?
Sangiovese.
Sangiovese. I know. So if you come out to the Bay Area, we can maybe you and I can go up there and I'll introduce you to them.
I'd like that. I would love to have the opportunity to try that. I've always wanted to try some Italian and American made wines from the same grape just to see how they contrast in style and expression.
They probably would a little bit, but you know, a good wine is a good wine, right? I mean, no matter where it's made.
Agreed, for sure.
So let's find out. Tell us about Wide Roots. What really is Wide Roots all about? I'm assuming you import wines from those two areas of Europe, right? And then who do you sell them to?
That's correct. So Wide Roots was formed as an import company for wines. My intent getting into the business was to be an importer and to work through wholesale. I decided to start the business in late 2019. Mm-hmm. And I started building it in earnest in early 2020. I think you kind of knew what happened at that mm-hmm. point. The world changed and everything went sideways. And what I ended up finding, and on top of that, the US was in the middle of a trade war with Europe where tariffs mm-hmm. had been placed against European wines from France, Spain, Germany, and England, not Italy for some reason, mm-hmm. but there were threats of more. And so these two factors really caused this dynamic in the industry where wholesalers just weren't interested in picking up new products. And look, wine is very competitive. Mm-hmm. You see this if you go to a store, or you look at a restaurant wine list that has a big selection. There's a lot of wine out there already. And I can tell you there's a lot of good wine out there looking for a home that hasn't found it yet. So I essentially had made this decision to cut loose from my employer. We're now in the middle of a major pandemic, and I'm starting this company with the prospect of not having a wholesale partner to sell it for me. So I made the decision to self wholesale. I got a wholesale license in Maryland. I found warehouse space, and I hired my first sales rep in late 2020. We got our license finished right around the holiday. And so we had our first sale just before Christmas 2020. And we've since grown to have a wholesale presence in DC as well as Maryland. I think we have about, at the moment, somewhere between 90 and 100 accounts, which would be liquor stores, wine stores, bars, restaurants, and Italian markets where we seem to do really well. And in addition to that, I do also have a dealer's license in Illinois. I have a distribution, a wholesale partner out there, and I have a wholesale partner in Delaware. So they purchase from me from my warehouse in Maryland and do the wholesaling. I'm hoping to pick up one more state by the end of this year, and I have three in play. So hopefully we'll be in five markets altogether by the end of the year, and we'll continue to expand beyond that.
Oh, well, that's actually quite a lot you've done in the middle of a pandemic in 2.5 years. Wouldn't you agree? That's
yeah, it's I think we have a lot to be proud of, and I'm really proud of my team. I have two excellent sales reps. We added a second one last year. I would put them up against anyone out there in the market when it comes to selling these wines. And so I'm really pleased with what they've been able to do. And I think as far as picking up some partnerships, what I'm finding, the industry, there are several big entrenched players on the wholesale scene that are national players, but there's a lot of smaller players like us who import and wholesale in a local area, but they're interested in growing their presence in other markets. And so there's a kind of an opportunity to really collaborate with some like-minded people and fill in gaps so I can help them fill in a gap in their portfolio, and vice versa. They can help me fill in gaps in my portfolio. So I think finding those opportunities to collaborate and then just having good products that you're proud of, I think our reps feel like they can go out with a bag full of wine and be proud of showing anything that they put in front of a customer, which I think makes a big difference. And it's been part of that success, but I'm really proud of the team and what they've been able to do.
Cool. And so, I mean, you said so far two countries, Spain and Italy, but there are other countries in Europe, obviously, that make wine. You know, France comes to mind right up. Do you plan to expand into other countries?
Yes, we will. How I'll more than likely pull off that expansion will be working with other importers who have inventory stateside. One, because it shortens the supply chain, but the other is just the logistical efficiencies. Everything comes down to being able to import or fill up an ocean freight container, and preferably a 40-foot ocean foot container, because the cost to sail a 20-foot container is about the same as the cost to sail a 40-foot container. Mm. And so I can leverage my shipping costs, and I can drive my per bottle costs down if I can fill up a 40-foot container. So there's also the prospect of trucking things around. And so expanding to France as an importer, I think would increase some logistical costs on my side for me to be able to do that. And getting a full container out of France would be a very difficult way to get into it. So, but certainly France is a country where we have a few things that we're already looking to pick up. Certainly Germany, Austria would be of interest. And I found some really amazing things from Greece as well. That I think are personally interesting, and I have to kind of evaluate the market opportunity there. But yes, there's a world of great wine out there. I'd love to expand there, and I'd also like to have some stateside producers here as well. So we really, our wholesale book in Maryland, our goal is to build out something that is, at least quite exhaustive and allow us to play in as many places as we possibly can, and really focus that out-of-state business on our key producers in our Italy and Spain book.
Yeah, and actually another one of my favorite grapes, and maybe you're looking at this country too, would be like the Argentine Malbec. Do you have any thoughts of going into South America?
Yeah, for sure. I think there's a couple of interesting things that are happening there, and we've tried a few. I think the question will be timing and when we put everything together. And I think one of the things I've learned as an entrepreneur is the need to scale your business with your growth and make the right decisions at the right time. And so I think everything is meant to happen at a certain time. Mm-hmm. And I think our expanding our presence is something that we'd like to do with as many places as possible. But I think the challenge that we have to really navigate there is when to add, what's the right time to add certain pieces. And so that's I think managing that growth, because I also conserve capital, is important. I have limited warehouse space. So it's how do we kind of do that scale up? The other thing we haven't really talked about is I did just get approved to have our license upgraded to spirits as well. And so there are a few interesting things that we're looking at in spirits that we'll be excited to offer here soon.
And it's interesting because you started this business like literally right before the pandemic. And it's well known that alcohol consumption went up during the pandemic, but at home, not in the restaurants. So
that's right.
There's kind of a double-edged sword for you, right? So do you think that helped you or hurt you?
It's probably a little of both for different reasons. I think the the restaurant side of things. So the whole business just kind of it went through this massive shift, and it seems like it's shifting back to some extent, but it's hard to see where it will go. Whereas you mentioned, a lot of people were drinking wine at home. Mm-hmm. So they were the liquor store business went way up, the restaurant business went way down because restaurants could no longer serve people indoor. Here in Baltimore, they were able to sell for carry out. So they the local liquor boards relaxed some of their regulations around carry, which I think helped them. But the issue that it created for what we do, we look for good, really good quality that would be at an affordable price. And to find those kind, a lot of those wines, if you go to the typical areas that people know about, have been found, but there's a lot that's off the beaten path. And I think that's where we're really good, is these off the beaten path wines from lesser known regions and lesser known grapes. The issue with that is that that's in the business what we call a hand sell, because we have to educate people about that. And so with that shift that happened in the business, it created less opportunities to hand sell. And so it made it, I think, on that side of it, a little bit more difficult, unless we found, and we were able to get in pretty early with some accounts that were just, you know, they were into the geeky stuff and they wanted what we had to offer. And so we were fortunate to be able to get in and build a presence this way. But our restaurant bar business has started to pick up more, but I think there's a lot more potential there. What I'm worried about is if we go into recession and then that side of the business takes another hit again. So I'm kind of keeping my eyes on all of that, as you can imagine. I think the way it helped me, one was, I think the decision to sell wholesale would have been the right decision, even if there were no pandemic. And I wouldn't have made that decision otherwise, probably. But the other is I got two very good people that were able to work for me. One was kind of went through, unfortunately, with the restaurant business doing what it did. She was one of the top reps in Maryland in the restaurant business, and I was able to bring her on, and that was a big win. My other rep, I think his company also going through some changes, and he is just really passionate about Italian wines, and so he really likes being involved in what we have to offer. And he gets so excited talking about it. He's so proud of what's in his bag. So in that respect, I got two very good people working for me that I may not have gotten otherwise.
Very cool. And from the standpoint of the wine you actually import, right? Do you concentrate on the higher end, the medium, or the $2 chuck? I mean, I don't want to promote a particular brand.
So I would say, our sweet spot is in the $15 to $20 retail price point. That's where I think we really tend to offer some good value. We've got some other things that are moving pretty well that are closer to a $10 or $12 or $13 price point. And we have built out some of our higher end offerings. Like if you think about in Italy, the Barolo, for example, we have a Barolo, we have an Amarone, we have a Taurasi. We have my most decorated producer, one of Spectator's top 100 producers, is Elena Fucci, who is a real character and somebody I'm really proud to represent here in Maryland and in DC. She makes a beautiful wine made from a grape called Alianico on the volcanic, the Monte Voltere, which is an inactive volcano in the very south of Italy. And it's just a joy to represent her and her wines and really all of our wines. I want to give a shout out to one winemaker, but we love all of our winemakers. We consider ourselves their family's feet on the ground here in the US. And so, but yeah, I think that, you know, so to give you an idea, we do cover the whole gamut, if you will. But I would say our sweet spot is in that $15 to $20 price point range.
And coming from Northern California, I can attest to there are some really good wines in that $15 to $20 range that really surprise you, that can hold up against some of those $50 to $100 wines.
Yeah, I would agree. And I think it's helping people overcome whatever barrier they have to just trying to pull a cork on a bottle of wine, be somewhat adventurous. And I have a lot of people who ask me if they have to spend a lot of money to get a bottle of to get a good bottle of wine, and I'll tell them absolutely not. In fact, one thing, I work with a corner bar here. We do tastings once every other month or so, and we do a lineup of six wines, and I'll always throw in a high-end wine for the sixth wine. And what I like about that is, and we talk about this too, is because the wines are available for purchase for sale after the tasting, is I tell people, look, a lot of people ask this question about how much do you have to spend. You can taste through this flight and decide for yourself. Right? You is that high-end wine worth it for you? And maybe it is. Maybe there's a special occasion you want it for, but maybe you find the $15 bottle works pretty well, and not a bad option for something to drink. It's kind of fun seeing that light bulb go on for people.
Yeah. And I, one final question for you, since you have access to all of these wonderful wines. I'm not going to ask you for your favorite vintner, but what's your favorite varietal?
My favorite varietal, the one that's in my glass.
I see. Okay.
But to be fair, at the moment, I'm really enjoying Aglianico.
Okay.
So Aglianico is a grape that you see mostly in southern Italy. It's a very tannic red wine grape. But the fun, and this is one of the fun things for me, and you see this with Sangiovese, like to the max, is you could go taste Sangiovese all through Tuscany and just see how it's different. And you can do the same thing with Aglianico. You can try the Campanian Aglianico, you can try the Basilicata Aglianico, and then from different parts, even within those territories, and depending on soil, sun exposure, elevation, all of these factors create these wines that you can, if you taste them side by side, you can see some contrast. I think that's incredibly fun. I think that's why people geek out over Burgundy, because Burgundy is that to Pinot Noir, for example. But yeah, to answer your question, went off on my little geek path there. But Aglianico is the one that I'm really enjoying right now.
Right. Well, I will go to my local wine store today and get a bottle of Aglianico and try it. I've never had a bottle, so I will give it a try.
Yeah, so the Erpinia, and you'll see Erpinia on the label, is a more affordable one. And then the higher end, the Tarassi, is a higher end from Campania. And then Basilicata, Aglianico del Vulture, which is spelled like vulture. So you can find some good value from the Vulture as well. But yeah,
Well,
enjoy.
you certainly did do well on the wine ambassador test. You know your Italian wines, that's for sure. So, Ross, I want to thank you for joining us today. It's been enlightening. It's always good to talk to someone who's an entrepreneur, and I happen to like wine too. So it's very interesting to talk to someone like yourself.
Yeah, so I appreciate the opportunity, Mark, and I enjoyed the conversation as well. So thanks for interviewing me.
Yeah, and have a great week.
Thank you. You too.